Welcome to episode 76 of the Speak On The Podcast, hosted by your boy T. Lil Man. What's poppin'? What's good with it? What up, dog? Hey, man. Say, man. This is my NBA episode right here. This is where I'm gonna talk basketball. I'm gonna talk wild card. I'm gonna talk divisional round football tomorrow on tomorrow's podcast. But right now, I'm gonna talk about them Lakers, man. But before I get to the Lakers, there was a big trade made yesterday. Pascal Siakam was traded to the Indiana Pacers for Bruce Brown, Jordan Nwora, and I think like 3 first-round picks. I guess it works for both sides. Siakam didn't have I guess he told the Toronto Raptors that any team they traded them to, he was not going to sign the extension. So the Pacers is quite, like, you know, taking on – they're taking a chance out there because they just traded 3 first-round picks, Bruce Brown, you know, probably some secondary depth. And they don't know if this guy's going to re-sign back with them for the max contract. But by them trading for him, knowing that he said he is not guaranteeing that he's going to sign with the team that he's traded to, he knows that the Pacers is all in on him. So they're going to give him the super max or however much money he can make, they're going to give it to him because that's what the Pacers got to do. Nobody's in free agency is going to, you know, go to that team. Nobody is knocking down the doors to be an Indiana, you know, Pacer. You know, even Trey Haliburton, he was in Sacramento. He got traded there. So the only way they're going to get, you know, be great in Indiana, they're going to either have to trade for stars or they're going to have to draft really, really well. And who knows? I mean, they had Paul George, and Paul George is still balling out today, and he's been on 2 different teams after he left the Pacers. So they couldn't keep him there. Just think about it. Paul George started his career with the Pacers. He was there for 5+ years. And they let him go, and he's still balling out right now. So it's hard to keep guys there. It's hard, and it's hard to get guys to come there. But they were able to do it in a trade. I think this works for the Pacers. I don't think this makes them a threat to, you know, the Sixers, to Boston, or to the Bucks. But, you know, who knows, man? I think it adds some wing depth to them, another wing scorer, an all-star. You know, Pascal Siakam has been an all-star in his career. And it gives Pascal Siakam that he knows that he don't have to do it all, you know? With the Raptors, when DeRozan left, when Kawhi left, when Kyle Lowry left, it was basically his team. And they didn't make the playoffs for the last couple years. So now he goes to in a situation where he has another star next to him, Trey Haliburton. Probably going to be the East All-Star starter, you know? Arguably, him, Trae Young, Dame Lillard, I think it's going to be Haliburton. But now you pair him with him, and you got Miles Turner, you got Buddy Hield, and now you bring in Pascal Siakam, which is a slasher. He affects the game offensively, he affects the game defensively. Like I said, slasher, a big wing, he's like 6'9", 6'10". So he just brings a lot of versatility to their team that they didn't have in that position. And they kind of needed that. That's why they went all out for him. So I respect, you know, the Pacers for going all out and getting that star and getting that guy that they needed, because that's the only way they're going to be able to acquire all-star players is by trading for them, because nobody's going to sign in free agency and go to the Pacers, no matter how much money they have. You know, you can get money anywhere. So it's like, why would I go to Indiana when I can get the same money over here in Miami or New York or, you know, Brooklyn or L.A.? You feel me? Like, it's just – that's just how it is. That's how the NBA is set up. So, great move for the Pacers. We shall see how this move works out for the Raptors. I think this just brings them – gives them more depth, more versatility. Scottie Barnes is probably going to be able to, you know, have the ball in his hand more. RJ Barrett as well, they just traded for him. So they have 2 little anchor pieces that they can go with. You know, they got RJ Barrett, Scottie Barnes. One of those guys can potentially be an all-star in the next 3 or 4 years, you know. Within that window, one of them should be an all-star. And they can just draft, you know. Who knows? Ben Simmons can go back over there. Shai Gilgeous, he's from, you know, Toronto, Canada, so he might want to go back over there and play. And they just might be, you know, prepping to sign a big star, you know. They is a good market. They're pretty good, so I think it works out for both sides. Siakam won it out, and the Pacers got a wing, slasher, all-star, you know, forward that they needed. So it works out for the both of them. We'll see how it works out this year and the year after. We will see. Moving on from that, man, let's talk about the Lakers, man. Let's talk about the Lakers. The last six games, the Lakers are 4-2. The last two games, they have beaten the 2 seed. Let me make sure of that. The last two games, they have beaten the 2 seed Thunder, and they beaten the 5-seeded Mavericks. They beat both of them two teams the last two games. They've been playing pretty well, man. And shout out to D'Angelo Russell, man. His minutes been back up. He's been back in the starting lineup, which I was saying like a week ago, like, bro, we got to get him back in the starting lineup. Cam Reddish has fucked up everything. Like, he's really messed up rotations, Cam Reddish. Because Darvin Ham just consistently keep putting him in a game, even though I don't think Cam Reddish has earned his minutes. Like, he's not scoring any points. He's not affecting the game offensively at all. He can't even make layups at times. You get him the ball, he pump fake, he goes to the rim, he act like he ain't never, you know, had a layup in his life, never had a floater in his life. This is a guy that could score 50 in high school. But that's the thing. Sometimes people be peaking too early. You peak in high school and then you stop working. You get complacent. You think the game is just going to always be, you know, it's going to always go through you. You know, you're going to always be in control of the basketball. And you get to the NBA and you're around other guys that's hungry, that's more talented than you, you know, that's more skilled than you, that work ethic is better than yours. And then you hit this wall where you can't get on the court for the Knicks, for Portland, or for Atlanta. But not Darvin Ham got you sitting here playing 30 minutes a night. And it's just like, no, bro, that 30 minutes can go to somebody else. Obviously, he's injured. But when he come back, he don't need to just go back into no lineups, none of that shit. I'm telling you right now, if Cam Reddish come back from this injury, let's say he's come back for injury for a couple weeks or something like that, and he's back into the starting lineup, they should fire Darvin Ham right after that game. He put him back in the starting lineup. He should be fired. I promise you right now, he should be fired, because the lineup we have planned right now is the lineup that's gonna, that, bruh, these are the, who is the 5 best players on the Lakers besides Torian Prince? I don't know what Torian Prince got on Darvin Ham, but Darvin Ham do not want to sit him down. And I'm not saying Torian Prince is a bad player, because he's not. You know, he's a decent player. But Torian Prince don't need to be playing 35 minutes a night. Torian Prince don't need to, in the first quarter, when they get around the 5-minute mark, or not, let me say that, the 7-minute mark, from 12 minutes all the way to 7 minutes, he need to come out at the 7-minute mark, bring in Vando, or I think Vando should start, and then Torian Prince should come off the bench. I think Vando has showed, you know, he's healthy now. The way he's attacking on defense, I mean, he's guarded SGA. And just in the last two games, he's guarded SGA, had him under control. You know, SGA is a guy that can give you 40, 45, 35 points, 30 points on any given night. I think Shai had only like 20-something versus the Lakers. He had like 20 points. Let me make sure. He had 24 on 19 shots, 1 of 6 from 3. Didn't even get to the free throw line like that. So, and then he turned around yesterday and have some quality stops, quality contests, and just wrecking havoc on the defense, on the rebounding against Luka and Kyrie Irving yesterday. Those are literally two of the premier best scorers, clutch guys in the league, period. Luka and Kyrie are two of the best bucket getters in the NBA, and it's been that way since Luka walked in the league, and Kyrie always been an elite bucket getter. Always. It ain't not one time in Kyrie's career where he has not been elite at getting buckets. Since Luka stepped into the league, he's been elite at getting buckets. And Vando challenged both of them yesterday, you know. Even Austin Reeves was able to, you know, contest Kyrie Irving a little bit yesterday. I like that as well. D-Lo did a good job as well. But Vando need to be starting. It's time to bring Vando back into the starting lineup so Vando can take the perimeter job. And we don't have to just be on D-Lo and Austin Reeves. Like, and then that means Austin Reeves can be more on the offensive end. Like, we taking away from Austin Reeves' offensive play by trying to put him on Bradley Beal, Kyrie Irving, Shai Gilgeous, you know, Dame Lillard. No. Vando, that's Vando's job to go in there and play against those guys. That's Vando's job. And now you have D-Lo and AR back in a starting lineup together, and they look good together. You can see they playing well together. They playing off of each other. They're both creating shots for each other. Anthony Davis is creating shots for his teammates now. They pass it to him in the post, and he's able to get buckets and pass out of the post. Anthony Davis last night, well, let me go back to the how many assists did he have? Anthony Davis against the Oklahoma City Thunder on Monday, he had 27 points, 15 rebounds, and 5 assists. Like, Anthony Davis has become a great passer out of the post because they're double-teaming him now. They literally can't guard him one-on-one in the post no more. You have seen a lot of teams this year, when they throw the ball down to the AD in the post, they're double-teaming him. So now it's like, back then when you had Cam Reddish on the floor and Vando on the floor and Torian Prince, that's three guys that you really don't have to guard like that. Yeah, Torian Prince might go off one night, but he might go 1-for-7 one night as well. Last night, Torian Prince was 0-for-3 from the three-point line. And in the previous game of that against the Thunder, he was 1-for-5 from the three-point line. So he might go, you know, he might not. And ain't nobody guarding Cam Reddish at the three-point line. Ain't nobody guarding Vando at the three-point line. But now you got Anthony Davis in the post, and then you got LeBron on the wing, you got Austin Reeves on the perimeter, and you got D'Lo on the perimeter. And then you got Vando slashing. So who you going to really help on? You pass out the post, kick it. Now you got an open shot by one guy. And that open shot is coming from Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell. You feel me? LeBron James. Like, this is what it is right now. This is the best lineup for the Lakers. Austin Reeves, D'Lo, LeBron James, Vando, and Anthony Davis. They need to go back to that. That's the lineup. Those are the five best players on the Lakers. They fit together the best. That's what you need. Anthony Davis is playing at a very, very high level. He's fought through injuries this year. He's taking care of his body. He's been dominating this year. Like, we at the point where he might be an all-star starter. I think it's going to be tough because you got LeBron, KD, and Joker. And that's the big man in the All-Star game. I mean, you know, that's like the front court. I mean, not the front court, whatever. The wings and the center. Those are the guys. So it's going to be hard for him to start. But he's definitely in the All-Star game this year. He's definitely a defensive player of the year for sure. The way he's been guarding on the perimeter and protecting the paint and rebounding. I think he leads the league in rebounding. He's up there in blocks. He's able to guard Steph Curry, Wimby, Joker, and Jamal Murray on any given possession. Anthony Davis deserves a defensive player of the year, bro. Once the Lakers get down to that third seed, who knows, man? They can rip off, 40 games left? You know, around 40 games left? If they win 30 of them games, because it can happen. The last two games they've been playing together, and they look like they're figuring it out together. You know, Darvin said, "Okay, we finally healthy now," and things like that. But from what I'm seeing is, it's more offense on the court than defense. Them defensive lineups, man, it's the NBA in 2024. That defensive shit, man, you got to throw that away, dog. Defensive lineups is not going to win you no games because they can't score no points. Cam Reddish and Vando average 5 points together. So you got two starters averaging 5 points together. That shit not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to work, bro. While you got every other team, when their starters averaging, you know, around 80 to 100 points, and the Lakers starters are averaging 65. And most of those are from LeBron and AD. Like, no. Lakers have been looking well as of lately. Yesterday, like I said, they played the Mavericks. Luka's first game back. Kyrie been balling out the last five games. He had 40, 40, 38, 35, 33. He's been balling out. Luka come back from a 3 or 4 game outing where he had an ankle injury, but he's back. He's healthy. He was ready to go. You knew he wasn't going to miss his game versus the Lakers. That shit be funny as hell. Every time it can be somebody injured for 5 games, and then they got the Lakers coming up, and somehow they questionable now, and they playing. I understand it. People trying to get their lick back on LeBron, but he the GOAT. You can't get your lick back on the GOAT. He the GOAT. He already done y'all up for 21 years. This is just icing on the cake. But if you watch this game last night, the Lakers had control of this game from the start. They started fast. They won the first quarter by 6 points, 32-26. They have to start fast. You can't keep putting – I seen AD say, when we start slow, we put pressure on our bench players in the second quarter to – and then now they got to play more. Now they got to play better. Now they got to try to, you know, make up for what the starters didn't do. But when the starters are doing the things that they need to do and just taking the shots, you know, playing quality defense, taking the shots, making the shots, that allows the bench – to play at a more relaxed play. It allows them to be bench players. Bro, they're not starters for a reason. They're not supposed to come into the game and just they're not just gonna change the game. Your game changers is gonna change the game. Bench players are like game managers. Starters is game changers. That's what it is. Yeah, you might have your Lou Williams off the bench, your Ginobili, you know, you might have your whatever guys off the bench that can really change the game. But that's rare. People off the bench are not coming in to change the game. They're coming in to manage the game, you know, to add some spark to the game. But they not about to, ain't nobody coming off the bench and averaging 30 points. That's usually a starter. There ain't people coming off the bench and averaging 20 points. That's starter. So I just like everything I'm seeing from Anthony Davis this year. I'm not going to lie to y'all. I like it. Even though the Lakers are 21-21 and they've had some hiccups, some bad losses, and they didn't beat some great teams, though. Like, they didn't beat the Thunder twice, the Mavericks multiple times, the Clippers multiple times. You know, they didn't beat a lot of good teams. But at the same time, they have lost some games that they shouldn't have lost. If it's because of chemistry, if it's because of locker room issues, if it's because of playing time, injuries, all of that. All of it matters. So I'm just saying, like, I like what they're doing right now. I love what they're doing. I love their physicality. And I just want to see them continue to play with this same effort. Like, just play with this effort. It's a make or miss lead, so you're going to make and miss shots. But if the Lakers play with this consistent effort, they can be good. That's the main thing about it, playing with the consistent effort. Now, we're coming across around the trade deadline. Obviously, there's a lot of noise regarding the trade deadline and if they're going to get Zach LaVine or DeJounte Murray or Clint Capella or Jordan Clarkson. It's so many names that's attached to the Lakers' name right now. But one little under the radar move that I would like them to make, I would actually love them to make this move. It's under the radar, but I would love it. There's a lot of things going on in Golden State, right? There's a lot of things going on in Golden State. I don't think they're making the playoffs. I think they're going to continue to lose games. They obviously just lost a game to the Memphis Grizzlies where they didn't have damn near their starting five. They didn't have Ja. They didn't have Desmond Bane. They didn't have Marcus Smart, Steven Adams, or Brandon Clark. And Jaron Jackson was 3-for-14 from the three-point line. So they didn't have their team, but the Grizzlies won. I would say Chris Paul has been out for the last, I think, 3 weeks. He has some type of wrist injury or something like that, but he will be back around the trade time. If he's able to get a buyout from the Warriors, he's going to be a Laker. And he can come and run the second team offense. He can be in there playing with Austin Reeves. I think that would take – Chris Paul coming to the Lakers will make that team so much smarter because he's going to be another coach on the court. He's going to be another coach on the sideline, on the bench, letting them know, hey, this is what you need to do. Like, he has that type of mind. That's why they call him the point guy. He's able to see things before they happen. He's able to anticipate things. He's able to point out things before they happen, after they happen, explain to you, be proactive with his thoughts, and be retroactive with his thoughts. And if LeBron is able to have him next to him, running the offense, running the point, for let's just say sometimes when D-Lo is playing, you know, having a slow night. Let's say D-Lo having a slow night. You feel me? Now we can fall back to Chris Paul. That's what it is. I think that'd be great for the Lakers. Chris Paul don't have to go out there and get 30 and do none of that. Chris Paul just had to play his game, and he's the point guard. So he's going to know how to get AD the ball, get Austin Reeves the ball, get Torian Prince open shots, pocket passes where they just catch and shoot. I think that's an under-the-radar move that the Lakers need to be clamoring for. Hey, whoever Chris Paul agent is, they need to be talking about buyout, 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 buyout. Can we get a buyout? I'm not about to waste my time over here. I ain't got a lot of time as it is like that. So he might as well come and play with the Lakers. And let's go. Let's go get a championship, man. This is a chance where you can really get a championship. And you're not going to need Chris Paul to play 30 minutes a night. He can play 20 minutes a night, and that will be the most effective 20 minutes for real. So I like that move. Obviously, I would like, you know, another wing. Let's say Gordon Hayward get bought out. He hasn't played the last 5 or 6 games for the Hornets. He get bought out. I think his choices is going to be between Boston and the Lakers. But we shall see where he's more leaning to. If he come to the Lakers, we got a wing spot for him. We definitely got a wing spot for him. Definitely. And I think they have another spot. They go into the playoffs with all of the slots filled. They'll be able to sign maybe Biombo. I think that's his name, the center. He got released from Memphis Grizzlies. But he's an aggressive center, rebounding on the defensive end. He's one of those guys that could potentially guard Joker or at least slow him down or, you know, another 6 fouls. Offensive rebound, defensive rebounding, all of that. We can use that just to take some pressure off of AD. So I like those moves. But, I mean, like I said, we can go out there and get a game changer, a guy that can give you 25 points a night in a Zach LaVine or Donovan Mitchell or a Kyrie Irving, and we ain't got to give up too much. I definitely say go and do it. But I like the way D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves been playing together. I like the way D'Lo been playing. I like the way D'Lo been playing. I just say D'Lo, bro, just stay aggressive, bro. Just stay locked in. Like, I know it's hard to get locked in because he one of those goofy motherfuckers. But he got to stay locked in. We have to focus, bro. And I like mad D'Lo. D'Lo that got some pressure on his name. D'Lo that been hearing his name in the trade rumors. I like this I don't care D'Lo. I like this. This is the version of D'Lo that the Lakers need. This is the version. Running the offense, knocking down the shots, knocking down the three-point shots. Bro, if you wide open in the NBA, I expect you to knock that motherfucker down. Because how many, that's like an NFL player going running a deep ball, and he's wide open, and he's dropping a deep ball every time. That's what I think like a missed wide open three-point shot is in the NBA. It's like you running a go route, and the DB fail, and you running for 5 yards and you wide open and you drop it. It's like, oh my God, bro. It just takes the energy out of the whole arena. That's what happens when you miss a lot of open three-pointers in the NBA. It just It just takes the energy out of the arena. The fans get to turning on you. D'Lo, when you open, shoot the three. I don't care if you miss 10 of them. Shoot all 10 of them. Well, I do care if you miss 10 of them. But shoot them, bruh. Like, he was 5 for 7 from the three-point line yesterday. He was hitting shots crazy. Floaters, just in the air floaters, attacking the basket, mid-range crazy, able to pass the ball as well. This is the version of D'Angelo Russell that the Lakers need. This is it. This is it right here. If we can package Rui and Gabe Vincent up to get a, you know, in that first round pick to get a Zach LaVine or, you know, another just explosive elite scorer, I would love to see that. But I would like for us to keep D'Lo and AR, but we have to bring in some type of help as well. Man, we should see, though, man. They play Brooklyn on Friday. We're going to see if it's going to go to a three-game winning streak. We're going to see, man. But I will hope for them to keep going, but it's the NBA. You never know what's going to happen. But that's all I got for y'all today, man. That's all I got. Just wanted to talk basketball real quick. Basically wanted to talk to the Lakers. I hope they continue to get it together. Because I would like to see LeBron get another ring, bro. I would like to see LeBron get another ring. I would like to see Anthony Davis get a ring so he can finally get his real respect and they stop questioning what type of player he is or his motor or if he's going to be healthy. I would like for him to shut all that shit up. I would like for him to make it to the finals and him win the finals MVP. How about somebody other than LeBron win the finals MVP, you know? You know, Kevin, you know, Steph Curry had other multiple guys on his team that won the finals MVP. Just imagine that type of help. He had Kevin Durant win the finals MVP. He had Iguodala win the finals MVP. He only got one. He got 4 championships and 1 finals MVP. That's the type of help LeBron need. AD, it's your time, baby. I would love to see Anthony Davis win finals MVP. That'll put all this shit to rest. I'm just saying, me personally, I'd rather win a finals MVP than the MVP of the regular season. I'm going to just be real with y'all. Because I think Anthony Davis got enough time to still win a regular season MVP. Like, I think Anthony Davis probably going to play for another 10 years. You know, he just turned 30, basically. I think he's about to turn 31. Let me make sure. I think he's 31. I know his birthday. Let me make sure. Let me make sure. Yep, AD about to turn 31. March 11th, he turning 31. So this dude probably going to play for another 10 years. He's definitely going to, well, I ain't going to say definitely, but he's, you know, he's going to have a better chance of winning an MVP. At least one of them in his career somewhere. Especially if he's, how he's playing this year. If he play like that for the next 7 years, what? But like I said, I would love to see him win a finals MVP this year. I would love to see that. So keep it going, Lakers, man. I'm on y'all head all the time. I'm telling you, hey. I want to see LeBron get another one, bro. Year 21, he's still a top 10 player in this league. Arguably a top 3 player in the playoffs for sure. He needs some help, man. He needs y'all to make shots. Mario Chalmers made shots. Mike Miller made shots. You feel me? D-Wade made shots. Kevin Love made shots. Kyle Korver made shots. James Jones made shots. You feel me? Channing Frye made shots. J.R. Smith made shots. Jeff Green made shots. I'm just saying, man. Real talk. Brian needs guys to make shots. He's the ultimate quarterback on the court. It just is what it is. So if you tuned in to this episode, man, I appreciate you. This is episode 76 of the Speak On It podcast. It's all love. Appreciate y'all. We building, we growing, and we turning up, man. Speak On It podcast. Lip out.